I was just thinking of all the stupors that I'm probably the only one as a little girl that earned her 25 cents a week allowance by scrubbing my grandmother's stoops. I'm probably the only one. But I'm delighted to be here. And I guess I want to start right off the bat with what happened on December 2nd, a little bit after 10 o'clock, 2016. I was a few days away from ending my career in the Baltimore City Council. The longest serving living was the operative word, local elected person in the state of Maryland, when I started my car in a guarded, gated, patrolled, monitored garage. I started the car and saw two kids in school garb with school bags at my door, and they pulled the door open, and the big one said, "You white bitch, give us your car." And I said, "You son of a bitches, get away from me." I'm from Locust Point. We speak the same language. So mind you, they were in school garb with school bags. If they said they needed a ride or if they needed lunch or they needed a dollar, I would have helped them. I just couldn't fathom that the next thing they did is pull the door open, punch me out, and throw me across the garage into a concrete pillar. Well, I'm well padded, and I landed on my well padding, and it was just divine intervention. They didn't have a gun, they didn't have a knife, and that I didn't get hurt. And I'm screaming my head off. And one of my grandsons said, "I know, those boys can't hear. If my bubby was screaming, they can't hear anymore." And next thing I am screaming. And kids got the car to the gate, and divine intervention. I always kept the fob in the pocket of my door. And for some reason, across the garage on the ground, I'm holding the fob in my hand, and the kids can't open the gate to get out. So I see the little one coming around to me. I guess he figured I'm the key to the kingdom. But at the same time, the two men that were working in this huge garage heard me, and they were running towards me, and the little one saw them, and he started to run out. But the big one was still in the car. His vision was blocked because of the columns, and the two men got the big one out of the car and held on to him. By then, the police and an ambulance were there because this was all on video. The building had been watched, had a video of everything happening in the garage. So I went to the hospital, and thank goodness I was okay. And I got a call from two good Samaritans, and they asked me, "Would you please continue to help us help those boys?" They had been working for 2 years with those two boys, but for 4 years in outreach in that part of Baltimore. I'm a Baltimorean. I was in the city council for nearly 40 years. I couldn't believe the situation in a community in Baltimore. I went with them, with the Good Samaritans. They were taking every evening, they would take food to the neighborhood or do whatever they could do to help the people living there. And the first night I went with them, one of the Good Samaritans managed or was the manager of the commissary for Atwater Restaurant. And he used to bring all the food to that neighborhood and feed the people in the evening with the food that was left over in the restaurants. And I went with them the first night, and when they parked the truck, I saw a half of a $5 bill in the gutter. And I picked it up, and do you know what that represented? And then I lived to see it when I would go back into the neighborhood with the Good Samaritans to help. If you wanted anything to do with anybody, they would just ride through that neighborhood, and there would be girls and boys standing on the corner, and they would flag them down, and they would give them a $5 bill and do anything they wanted with them. They would tear the $5 bill in half and give them the first half when they started with him and the second when they finished with him. I couldn't believe I was in Baltimore. Well, we went to juvenile court, and I went with the Good Samaritans. The one Good Samaritan was from a group called Angels of Addiction. He had been in prison with the little one's father. The little one's father was a lifer. And he lamented to this man that his boys were following in his footsteps. And when this man, this Good Samaritan that called on me, came out of prison, didn't live in Baltimore, lived in Ellicott City, came back to this neighborhood and sought these boys out to mentor them. That was who this Good Samaritan was. And when I started to hear, my late husband was a judge, and so they brought a judge from another jurisdiction to hear this case, because like doctors don't operate on their own family, judges don't judge on family members. So they brought in an outside judge, and I was listening to the story of the little one. The little one was 13, the big one was 15. The 13-year-old had a rap sheet of carjacking in Federal Hill for 2 years, was waiting for a case in Anne Arundel County and Baltimore County, had been to school 2 days up to December 2nd, the first day of school and the day they gave out the bus tickets. He had been riding around in school garb, and he had convinced the big one to go with him that day. This was what he was doing every day. Could not read or write. I told the judge about, I just realized, and all of us should know, that the system is broke. It's not, the juvenile system is failing the kids, and it's failing us. So I spoke to the judge, and I told the judge that before I went into the city council, I was in pupil personnel at Northwestern High School. Northwestern High School in the late 60s, early 70s, was a secondary school, a high school on Park Heights and Falstaff Road. The residents in the area were elderly Jewish people. The student population was almost entirely African American. The problem was, and we found out in the school, working in the school, that the senior center would let its program out the same time that the kids would be coming out of school. And the seniors would be afraid to walk on the same streets. Not that there was anything necessarily to be afraid of. They just saw these big, five, six big kids at a time. They were afraid to walk in the area at that time, and they were afraid to go to the center because of it. So we took the kids to the center, and they were retired teachers and accountants and lawyers and doctors, and they started to mentor the kids. They became their friends. At the end of the school year, they would have a dance, and the kids would dance with their new Bubbies and Zadies. It was just a wonderful, wonderful environment. And I told this to the judge, and I said, "Judge, we need to get on the ground. We need to get into this community. These Good Samaritans have been doing outreach for 4 years, 2 years with these two boys. Let me see what I can do." And at the same time, fortunately, having just been serving so much, doing so much with city government, I knew that the city had a $1 billion bond issue from the state to bring our schools into the 21st century. And so 29 buildings had been identified as surplus. Either they were in the wrong place for the student population, or they were obsolete and they couldn't be retrofitted. They had to be abandoned. And one of the schools at 424 South Pulaski Street was exactly where these two boys lived. And so I met with the mayor and I met with the city people, and we were able to get that school at 424 South Pulaski Street. All we needed was the kitchen and the cafeteria, because the UM Power of Maryland was going to have a food project. I hope you look it up. It's all around food. It's to teach the kids and their families entrepreneurial skills, better living, better eating, better habits. It's a gift that keeps giving. And a woman reporter from the Washington Post heard my story, and she called Michelle Suazo, the head of our nonprofit, and asked if I would come with the boys to Bethesda to meet her. And we went, and she had started a business, a healthy snack business called CD Nutty. And she was looking to donate it to a worthy cause. She gave it to us. She gave us the business. It's called CD Nutty. We pay our kids $10 an hour. We make it in our kitchen. And we have a wonderful customer, Under Armour, in Inner Harbor East. And when we delivered our first delivery of the CD Nutty, the manager asked one of our kids, "What do you want to do when you grow up?" He said, "I want to work in a store like this." This is coming from a neighborhood where they don't have clocks. They live in boarded up houses. Nobody goes to work. He wants to work in a store like this. So I'm here to tell you that I know that I have been blessed, that I was able to, I am the recipient. It's been transformational for me. I think about if the good Lord could make the world in 6 days and rest on the seventh day, don't you think that Moses could have taken the Israelites as slaves out of Egypt, right to the land of milk and honey? No. It took 40 years of meandering in the desert to recalculate, recalibrate, reculture. This is what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to recognize it won't happen overnight. It'll probably take 40 years, but it starts with two boys and one person who said, "Okay, let me see what I can do." Thank you.